I want you to close your eyes for a second, okay? Seriously, just humor me.
Okay.
Now, I want you to picture a commercial photographer, you know, someone at the absolute top of their game. What do you see?
Oh, I know this one. It's the warehouse.
The warehouse.
Definitely has to be. Massive ceilings, probably some exposed bricks somewhere trendy like Brooklyn or East London. And just gear. Mountains of it.
Right. You're picturing C-stands everywhere,
Yeah.
tangled cables that are a complete fire hazard, probably five or six assistants running around with headsets,
Yep.
and lighting setup that costs more than my car, all to shoot a single bottle of perfume.
It's the classic industry image, isn't it? It's expensive, it's really intimidating, and well, frankly, it feels exclusive. Like if you don't have the warehouse, you aren't a real photographer.
And that is exactly what brings us to the deep dive we're doing today. We are unpacking a whole stack of resources, worksheets, course notes, articles from the commercial photographer and educator Don Giannotti. And the big takeaway, that mental image of the warehouse. It isn't just unnecessary. It might actually be the very thing that's holding you back.
It's a pretty radical idea. Giannotti's materials, they basically argue that the biggest barrier to entry isn't the money, it's not the space, it's not even the gear.
So what is it?
It's the clutter. The clutter in our heads and in our workspaces that convinces us we can't start yet.
So today we're going to break down his core philosophy, which he calls control, not clutter.
Love that.
We'll look at why your kitchen table is actually better studio than some big rental space. We'll dissect his one light setup that allegedly handles 90% of beginner work.
90% is a bold claim.
It is. And we'll walk through a 3-hour block method that's designed to just kill procrastination.
That last one, that's a game changer for anyone, you know, with a day job who's trying to build a portfolio on the side.
It really is.
Yeah.
But let's start with that core idea. Control, not clutter.
Yeah.
When I first read that, it sounded a little bit like minimalism for the sake of it, you know?
Sure, like throw everything away and be happy.
Exactly. But as I got deeper into his writing, it felt much more like an engineering principle.
It is. I mean, think about it this way. In any scientific experiment, what happens when you add more variables?
It gets way harder to track the results. You don't know what caused what.
Exactly. And photography is just physics. It's capturing light. If you have five different strobe lights set up, you have five variables.
Plus the ambient light.
Plus the bounce from the walls, plus the camera settings, plus the subject itself. So if the shot looks bad, if it's muddy or it's flat, which variable is the culprit?
You have no idea.
Or
You're just guessing. You're tweaking one light, then another, and changing the shutter speed.
yeah.
You're just chasing your tail.
You're managing chaos. You're not creating art. Giannotti's whole argument is that professionalism isn't about having the most tools.
It's about consistency.
It's about consistency. Can you get the result you want every single time? And you just can't get that consistency if you're drowning in variables you don't even understand.
So control just means simplifying the environment so you can actually predict the outcome.
Precisely. If you strip it down to one light, you know exactly what that light is doing. If the shadow's too dark, you know exactly why. You have control.
This leads us right to the location myth.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us use space as a massive excuse. You know, I can't shoot because my apartment is too small, or I don't have high ceilings.
Right. And the source material just counters that with this really blunt, practical question. It asks, which location in your home feels the most practical?
Not the prettiest.
Not the prettiest, not the most Instagram worthy, the most practical.
The notes mention kitchens, garages, spare rooms, basically anywhere you can just put down a table.
And there's a psychological unlock there. If you're waiting for the perfect space, you're never going to shoot. But if you accept that the corner of the dining room is your studio, you can start working today. The source is so adamant about this.
And here's the catch. This is in the action checklist we have. You can't just bounce around. There's a specific instruction. Identify one primary shooting space and commit to it for 30 days.
That 30-day rule is fascinating. It's not about finding the spot, it's about marrying the spot.
So why 30 days? Why not shoot in the kitchen on Monday because the light is nice, and then the garage on Tuesday because it's quieter?
It goes right back to control. Every single room has its own physics, you know. Maybe the kitchen has yellow walls that cast a warm tint on everything.
Okay.
Or maybe the garage has a concrete floor that just sucks up light, making your shadows way darker. If you move every time, you're constantly fighting the environment. You're recalibrating your brain for a new set of problems every single session.
So you're spending your mental energy on logistics, like where do I plug this in? Why does this photo look green? Instead of on creativity.
Precisely. But if you commit to that corner of the garage for 30 days, you learn the room, you know that at 2 p.m. a beam of sun hits that back wall, you know that you need a white card on the left side to kill a shadow, you master the conditions.
It becomes a home field advantage.
Exactly. And once the environment is a constant, it effectively disappears from the equation. Then the only variable left is the thing you're shooting. That's when you actually start getting better as a photographer.
Okay, so we've claimed our territory. I'm setting up shop on the dining room table. Now we have to talk about gear. And this is where I feel like the industry really preys on people. I look on YouTube and it's buy this new 600-watt strobe, get this parabolic softbox. You need a hair light, a rim light, a background light.
And before you know it, you spent $5,000, you have a closet full of cases, and you're too terrified to even turn it all on because it's so complicated.
Well, the worksheet in our stack outlines what it calls the one light setup formula. And it makes a pretty bold claim.
Let's hear it.
It says this setup is enough for 90% of beginner commercial projects. 90% feels optimistic.
It sounds high until you really start to analyze commercial images. I mean, next time you open a magazine or see a high-end product ad online, look at the shadows.
Okay.
Usually there's just one dominant shadow direction.
Meaning there's only one main light source.
One main source. The rest is just light management. The source material breaks this down into a really rigid formula to stop you from overthinking. You need a main light and you need a modifier.
Right, but the modifier isn't on the light, it's opposite the light.
Let's get specific on that main light piece because the notes say this doesn't even have to be a flash.
No, it says window or softbox. And it really emphasizes the window.
Just a window?
Just a window. I mean, think about what a window actually is. It's a limited opening that lets in daylight. If you put a simple diffusion curtain over it, like a cheap white shower curtain or something, it's functionally identical to a 4x6 foot softbox.
It is a giant, beautiful, soft light source that costs $0.
So if I'm at my dining room table, I have the window on my left. That's my key light.
Correct. Now, if you just shoot with that, the right side of your object, let's say it's a bottle of wine, is going to be pitch black. Super high contrast,
right?
Which might be cool for, you know, drama, but for a commercial shot, you want to see the label. You want to see the shape of the glass on that dark side.
Enter the reflector.
This is the second piece of gear.
Yeah.
And again, the source is hilariously low tech here. It suggests white foam core.
The stuff kids use for science fair projects.
Exactly. You can buy it at the dollar store. You just place that whiteboard on the right side of the table, opposite the window. The light comes in, hits the bottle, flies past it, hits the whiteboard.
And bounces right back into the shadows.
It wraps the light around the object. It creates fill. And here's where that control aspect comes back in. You're not dialing down the power on a second strobe. You just move the board.
It's analog control.
If you want lighter shadows, you push the board closer to the bottle. If you want darker, more dramatic shadows, you pull it away. You have infinite control with two physical objects, a window and a piece of foam.
And the argument is that this teaches you to see light better than a digital readout on a strobe ever could.
Yes, because you're physically manipulating the photons. You're seeing cause and effect in real time. If you start with a four light setup, you're just memorizing settings. Main light at power 5, fill at power 3. You aren't learning light, you're learning a recipe.
The one light setup teaches you how to cook.
Exactly.
There's a really interesting prompt in the worksheet related to this. It asks the photographer to audit their own gear. The question is, what parts of your current gear setup do you trust, and what parts stress you out?
Oof. That hit home for me.
Right. I think everyone has that one cheap wireless trigger that misfires every fifth shot, or a tripod head that droops if you put a heavy lens on it.
And think about what that does to your brain during a shoot. You're supposed to be focused on composition, on the reflections in the glass, but instead, 20% of your brain is just whispering, is the battery gonna die? Is the trigger gonna sink? Is that stand gonna fall over?
You're managing anxiety, not creating art.
Giannotti's point is ruthless here. If it stresses you out, it's not a tool, it's an obstacle. Put it away. If you trust the window, use the window. A great shot with a window is infinitely better than a missed shot with a $2,000 strobe that just confused you.
So we have our location, the kitchen table, we have our gear, the window, and the science fair board. But just having the setup doesn't mean the work actually gets done.
The procrastination problem.
Exactly. Which brings us to the 3-hour block method. I've read a lot of productivity hacks, but this one feels very specific to the creative process. It addresses that feeling of Drift.
Oh, yeah. Where you start a shoot, then you check your email, then you tweak a light a little bit, then you go get a snack.
And suddenly it's 4 p.m., you have three mediocre photos, and you haven't edited anything. And you just feel guilty.
So walk us through the three-hour block. It's broken into three distinct phases, right?
Right. Phase one is pre-plan.
And it is vital that this is a separate phase. The notes are super clear. Do not touch the camera yet.
That's hard for photographers. We just want to start shooting.
But that's where the mess comes from. The pre-plan phase is about logistics. Mm. It asks you to answer questions like, what is the object? Where is the table going? Is the window clean? Do I have my background paper? You're playing the role of the producer here, not the photographer.
You're setting the stage.
You're doing mise en place. You know, like a chef chopping all the onions before the dinner rush. If you're trying to find a clamp while you're looking through the viewfinder, you're multitasking. And multitasking is the death of creative flow.
So you spend, what, the first 30 or 45 minutes just prepping everything?
Exactly. You clear the table, you clean the object because dust shows up in macro shots, you set the reflector so that when you move to step two of the shoot, you are purely in creative mode. Everything is within reach. The light is ready. You can just focus on the image itself.
It sounds like it protects your creative energy. You aren't burning willpower looking for batteries.
Exactly. And then once you've shot, and this is where most hobbyists fail, you move to step three immediately.
Edit and export.
It's the export part that caught my eye.
It's maybe the most important word in the entire document. Export.
Why is that so critical?
Because a raw file on a memory card is not a photograph. It's just data. It's potential. A client can't use a raw file. A magazine can't print a raw file. Until you have processed that image and exported it as a JPEG or a TIFF, the job is not done.
But we love hoarding raw files. I have hard drives full of them. Oh, I'll edit those later.
That's hoarding, not producing. Dionati is training you to be a commercial photographer. And commercial photography is all about delivery. The three-hour block forces you to go through the pain of selecting, color correcting, and finalizing the file.
It closes the loop.
It creates momentum. When you stand up from that table after 3 hours, you don't just have a good session. You have a finished asset. You have a JPEG you could email to a client or put on your portfolio right then.
It transforms the activity from practicing to shipping.
Exactly. And if you do one of these blocks every week, in a year, you have 50 finished portfolio quality images. If you just mess around whenever you feel inspired, you might have zero.
The source material actually includes a test to prove all of this, a specific homework assignment called the One Light Setup Test. And I really want to challenge our listeners to actually do this.
It's such a great reality check.
The assignment is simple. Pick a small household object, a coffee cup, a perfume bottle, maybe a candle, something with a little bit of shine or texture to it.
Small is good, yeah, because you don't need a massive background. A single sheet of poster board is plenty.
Step one, set up your simple stage. Table near the window. Background paper sweeping up behind the object.
Step two, establish the main light. Let that window light hit the object from the side or maybe slightly behind. Just watch where the shadows fall.
Step three, place the reflector, that white foam board. Put it on the shadow side. Now move it in and out until you see the detail come back into the dark areas.
And here is the crucial instruction in the notes. Straight, intentional framing.
Okay, what does that mean in this context?
It means don't just handheld snap it from some weird angle. Put the camera on a tripod or even a stack of books. Look at the edges of the frame. Is the table level? Is the cup centered? Is the background actually covering the whole frame?
Commercial photography is rigorous. It's all about precision.
Exactly. And the goal of this entire test is to produce one final image.
Just one.
Just one.
That seems kind of counterintuitive. Usually we're told to work the scene, you know, take 50 shots, find the best one later.
But when you shoot 50, you get sloppy. You think, oh, I'll fix it in the next frame or I'll fix that in Photoshop. If your goal is one perfect image, you slow down. You actually look at the cup and say, wait, there's a fingerprint on the glass.
And you wipe it off.
You wipe it off. You say, the label is slightly crooked.
Yeah.
And you rotate it. You solve the problems in real life, not in post-production.
You're forcing yourself to be critical before the shutter clicks. That is the discipline.
And the payoff. The payoff is looking at that final JPEG and realizing, holy cow, this looks like an ad. And then realizing you did it with a window and a piece of foam.
That's the control, not clutter-proof right there.
It just destroys imposter syndrome. You can no longer say, I'm not good enough because I don't have a studio. You just proved you can do it on the kitchen table.
It's incredibly empowering, but also a little bit scary.
How so?
Because it takes away all the excuses.
It puts the responsibility squarely back on you. It's not the gear, it's your eye.
So let's wrap this up. We've covered a lot of ground, but it really boils down to three main pillars.
Right. Pillar one, the environment. Stop chasing the perfect studio. Pick a practical spot in your house, garage, kitchen, whatever, and just commit to it for 30 days. Master the physics of that one room.
Pillar two, the gear. Stop buying. Start simplifying. Master the one light setup. A window plus a reflector. Learn to control contrast with distance, not with digital dial.
Now, pillar three, the workflow, the three-hour block. Pre-plan, shoot, export. Don't let the work drift. You have to finish the job.
It's a roadmap for moving from being a person who likes cameras to an actual commercial photographer.
It really is. It shifts the entire focus from what do I own to what can I create. And that's a shift every creative person has to make eventually.
You know, what I love about this deep dive is how it kind of democratizes the whole field. It just reminds us that photography isn't about brands or budgets. It's just light.
The light doesn't know if it came from the sun or a Profoto strobe. It behaves the same way. The camera captures the photons, not the price tag.
The camera captures the photons, not the price tag. I am stealing that.
Please do.
We have a final challenge for you, the listener. We talked about that gear audit earlier, and I want you to actually do it.
It's cathartic, I promise.
Go to your closet or your camera bag right now. Open it up and look at every single item and ask yourself, does this help me control the light or does it just add clutter to my process?
And if the answer is clutter, just put it in a box. Hide it for a month. Strip your kit down to the absolute essentials.
You might be surprised to find that your photography actually gets better when you have less to work with.
Limits encourage creativity.
Thanks for diving in with us. Now turn off the podcast, go clear off the kitchen table, and shoot something.
See you next time.